I'd like to welcome those who are out there in the internet that are tuning in right now and welcome them to our service here today, where we're going to be continuing on in a sermon series that I've entitled Change, It Happens. And looking again, we're going to finish up the section on cultural change, and then we're going to move into some personal change and how our physical world and our physical bodies, our physical makeup changes over time, and how God uses those things to get us to where we need to be. As we left off, we were talking about the changes that happen in this world, and one of the things that I think we all know and we all understand is that change does not happen overnight. Change takes time. And if you think about that, you know, one of the things we need to understand is they use many different, and I'm going to use the word propaganda machines, to bring about change. One of the most prevalent things that is used today to bring about change is a little square box that sits in all our houses. In fact, many of us carry around a connection to it in our cell phones because it's called the television. And we are indoctrinated a little bit at a time as we see these things on movies and television programs, and we hear it on the news and the media, and they'll say, oh, but you know, don't worry about this, it's not going to happen. Well, then the reality is all they're doing is prepping us for what they want to happen 10, 15, 20 years from now. Because as they bring it into our minds and show us as it being a normal thing, it becomes normal, and we are less susceptible to coming against it. Because we all know that if change happens overnight, boom, this we're going to do this. The first thing people do is put up their walls and say, nope, 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 nope. Because we all want change, but nobody wants to be changed. But if we're indoctrinated into it, like we said last week, the frog in the pot of boiling water, put the frog in the water when it's cold, he's happy. Turn the heat up, and as it warms up, he stays happy. And before you know it, he's cooked. And that's exactly what we find in ourselves and in our culture, because we are brought into it a little bit at a time. But we need to remember, and this is my key point, scripture I want you to turn to is 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 12. We are not to be mastered, okay? And that is exactly what propaganda is for. Propaganda is to come into our lives to master us, to get us to think about something being good or right or normal, okay? I call it the Jerry Springer effect. We see these things on Jerry Springer where he will bring in, or some of these others, I just use poor Jerry, you know, he's getting a bum rap from me, but not like he doesn't deserve it. Because he does have some really weird stuff on that show, if you've ever seen it. But what they're doing is they're showing us this stuff so that we think that what we're doing is normal. Because if he can make something so abstract and so absurd, it raises the definition of normal. Well, what I'm doing must be normal because that's bad. Okay? Well, that's not the truth. Because it's not a comparison of one to another. It's a comparison to God's holy word. So from God's holy word, 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, we read these words. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. That is a New Testament teaching that Paul was giving to the people because they had so many regulations under the law that they had to sit to. And God, through Jesus Christ, removed, not that the law no longer stands, because it does. The law is still there, all right? God's word never goes away. But in Christ Jesus, he has set us free because he paid the price of our sin. He has set us free that we no longer have to do the dietary laws, okay? We no longer have to do the dietary laws. How do we know that? Because we know in the New Testament it says, if somebody places this in front of you, give thanks to God for it, because all things come from God, and that makes it clean. Okay? So we need to understand. Paul here is talking about what's permissible. And out here in the world, I think it's amazing. There's a church here in our neighborhood, and they have a sign out front. It says, wrong is wrong, even if everybody's doing it. And it still reminds me of our laws, okay? We have so many laws on our books that say something's legal. But does legal make it moral? Does legal make something good? It just makes it to the point where you won't go to jail for doing it. But many people were following some of these legalities, these words of the law, written by men, not by God. I mean, we can't follow God's law. We know that. That's why God gave us the law. The law was given to us to show us that we can't live holy lives because we're evil people. We are sinners. And we're going to constantly follow the desires of our, as the scripture put it, the desires of our stomach, okay, the things we want. And God says, no, because when you're doing that, you're allowing those things to master you. Do not allow anything to master you. We have one master, Jesus Christ, amen? And so everything that we put into our lives, everything that comes at us, we have to put on the proper glasses to see these things through, to filter it, okay? We all have filters. How many of you realize you all have filters, okay? Every one of you have filters that you run everything through as acceptable, not acceptable, good, not good, you know, makes me happy, makes me sad. We all have these filters, but there's a filter that each and every one of us in Christ Jesus is supposed to have, and that filter is the holiness of the Holy Spirit in us, that everything has to pass through that filter, the filter of good and evil. And we're told that in the book of Romans that we are to test the spirits. Well, if God is not in us, how are we going to test the spirits? Because the only spirit we have is the spirit of ourselves. And we know through the scriptures that man's heart is evil from birth. What? No, Pastor, babies are innocent. Really? When a baby wants something, what do? Yeah. Me! Me! That's sin. I think about Mary. What do you think it would have been like to have Jesus as a baby? Do you think he cried when he needed his diaper changed? Do you think he cried when he was hungry? Remember, this is a sinless child. Different nature than us. I imagine she had to go over and pinch him just to make sure he was still, you know, is everything okay? Because as a holy child, as a child who had no sin nature, he would have simply waited to be taken care of. How many of us are willing to wait? How many of us are willing to have that holy filter that says, I don't need to have the latest and newest and greatest, and I can wait. Because there's something far greater in store for me in heaven. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Are we going to be mastered by the things of this world? Or are we going to allow the master to give us the world in the end? Wow. We talked about that today in discipleship. There is a crown forward for us. We need to think of that. And that needs to be our thought when we're looking at everything that we're doing. I want you to please remember that we in Christ are no longer of this world, but we are sent into this world as missionaries, as ambassadors of Christ. How do I know that? Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. And you all know this. I know you do. But I just want to remind us of it. I want us to look at what Christ himself has said to us. And this is in Christ's prayer. This is the prayer of John where he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for us as he is getting ready to depart from this world. And it's understanding that Jesus knew all these things were going to come at us. He knew the world was going to come at us. But he prayed a prayer. And I'll guarantee you, if God prays a prayer for you, do you think it's a powerful prayer? Number one, if God prays the prayer for you, it can't be changed. It is, as Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And these are his words from verse 14. Chapter 17. I'm sorry, I thought I said the chapter. John, chapter 17. We're going to be in verses 14 through 21. 14 through 21. John chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. He says to us, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. Jesus here is telling us that we are no longer of this world. Once we are born again, we are born in the Spirit. We are no longer just a flesh being. We've never been just a flesh being. But our spirits were dead to God because we were born in sin. But being born again, coming to that place of accepting Christ, of knowing that He is the one that God has sent, knowing that we are born again, born in the Spirit, born in the blood of Jesus Christ, born from the cross through the resurrection. Can I get an amen? Because we have been brought up from death through love and into life through Christ. So we are no longer of this world. We have a new home. We are born unto God who is eternal. We are no longer just a temporal being who is destined to die. Remember, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. This physical body will perish because we don't need this physical body because we're going to get a new body. And that new body will be perfect, whole, and holy for all time. I think it's amazing because some have gone on before us and they're waiting for that new body. And for some of us who are waiting for the rapture to occur, when that does, we will never die, for we will be in the air with Christ and we will be given our new glorified body at that moment. What a day that will be when you look in the mirror and don't even recognize yourself anymore. I can't imagine what I'm going to look like without white and gray hair. Okay, I've had it so long I can't remember what I used to look like. Yeah, Wayne, you'll have hair.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I looked over and Dottie was looking up at Wayne's head. And I was like, oh my goodness. But in that day, and until that day, we need to remember we have one master, and he is to master all of our life. And it doesn't matter how small the thing may be, because as soon as we begin to compromise one little piece, remember when Jesus was out and being tempted in the wilderness, Satan spoke scripture to him. But he twisted it just enough to not make it scripture. How much of a twist does it take to make something not scripture? Just a little bit. And Jesus knew that. So Jesus would not allow the temptations to come. Jesus knew the Word because He is the Word. And the Word is His master. I think that's one of the most amazing things for us to try and wrap our heads around. How does God submit to very God? But yet, in full human flesh, in full humanity, He did. How easy is that for us? How many of us, when we know we're being tempted because there's that piece of chocolate cake in the refrigerator calling your name? Let us be mastered by the Master, God, and God alone. Because God wants us to weigh out all things through the power of his word, that we may do the work to which we have been called, that we may be salt and light. Because if we're allowing the things of this world to taint us, we're no longer salty, and our light is growing dim. We can barely light enough to see for ourselves, let alone give anyone else light. I don't know about you folks, but I know one of the things that I dread, okay, with these new lights that they have, these new LEDs, they're wonderful. They burn bright. Bah! And all of a sudden the batteries go, and it's not one of these things where they kind of fade out. You'll turn it on, and you'll be walking through the woods in pitch dark, and all of a sudden it just goes black. And it's like, ugh! And the amazing thing is, in our world, they faded out. It comes to us slowly. And before you know it, you're standing in the dark and you don't even know you're in the dark. So let us not be mastered. Let us not allow these things to come. Let us be salt and light constantly and continually. Can I get an amen? I'd like us to change our gears up. I want us to begin looking now towards personal, physical change and just what God has to say to us about this and how it affects each and every one of us. How many of you in this room have been affected by physical change? Well, I'll guarantee you, some of the physical changes I've seen in my life have been awesome. Some of them have been not so cool. And when you're a teenager going through puberty, it just ain't fun. And I won't ask you what you just said. One of the things I think is amazing is when I became a middle-aged man, and you know that's when you're in the prime, right, guys? Guess what's soon to follow? Old age, all right? Old age. We used to take care of a gentleman, Emmert Schweitzer. Emmert Noah Schweitzer was his full name. And I would look at him and say, you know, Pop, I said, you're getting pretty old. He said, getting old? I am old. He said, I'm as old as dirt. And I used to think to myself, yeah, I'm going to get there one day. And what am I going to be when I do get there? How am I going to be when I get there? Because you know, some people as they get older, they get better. Did you ever notice that? Some people as they get older, they get happy and life is, you know, hey, life is good. They've lived their life, all the hard stuff is behind them, and now we're just kind of coasting down the road, right? And they smile and they're happy and you wonder, you know, how in the world are they continuing on? You know, their health is failing, but they're smiling, they're happy all the time. You know, my great-grandpa was that way. He would be whistling, and he always whistled Christian songs. He always whistled the old hymns, and I used to love it. You know, he always had a kind word on his mouth. You know, it reminded me of Bobby Bolts, always the exhorter, okay? And but then you have these other folks that as they get old, they don't get better, they get bitter. We've never seen any of them, right? We don't know any of those people. We aren't those people, right? Excuse me. Had a frog in my throat there. But it so amazes me because if we look at life through the wrong lenses, if we look at change through the wrong direction and allow change and these things that happen to us to be the influence over us, we can get bitter very quickly. But if we remember this is temporary, this doesn't last, this goes away, we can get better real quick because we have something to look forward to. The song that we sang today was one of the reasons I chose that song. You know, in my Father's house, there is a place for me. That speaks of the eternity that we're going to have because of the love of God. He does not want to throw us away. He's never wanted to throw any of us away. But many people have chosen to be thrown away. Because God gives us what we choose. He loves us so much that he allows us to choose. We are the only created thing in existence that can choose its destiny. We are the only one. And change is one of the key factors that will get you to choose improperly. And Satan uses it against you. He uses it against me. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 21. So we're just back a few pages from where we were just previously. And we're going to be in verse 18. And I chose this verse very specifically because this is Jesus speaking to Peter. Okay, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. And this is something that we all need to understand is going to come for each and every one of us. He spoke this to Peter for a very specific reason, but it has implication for us this day. For Book of John, chapter 21 and verse 18, he says to us this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Wow. Is that growing old? Yeah, that is growing old. Because there comes a time when we can't take care of ourselves anymore. There comes that time as we grow old that this physical body is not able to do the things that it's used to could. That's how I like to put it. I can't do the things I used to could. And we get old, and the next thing you know, other people are taking care of us. All we have to do is look around us. How many nursing facilities are there in the United States today? So many more than there ever was. I mean, Miss Eva works for the nursing, in the nursing care facilities, and she's one of those out there giving care to the elderly in our communities. And the horrible thing is, how many of those people, Miss Eva, don't get visits from their families? A lot, okay? They kind of get put in these places and forgotten, and strangers are taking care of them. And then, you know, we've tried to make the best of it. I've told Russell, I said, he's not going to have to worry about putting Mom and I in a home. I said, if we live long enough for that to happen, I said, I will put us in a home before that ever happens. Because I want to be able to choose where I want to go, and then once I'm there, I'll try to be happy about it. I said, I don't want you to make those decisions, okay? There's somebody else in our congregation that has told me that he's going to be a plague unto his children, and they're going to have to take care of him, and they're going to change his diapers. And they said, "No, we're not, Dad. We're going to get somebody to come in and change your diapers, and it's going to be somebody that you don't like." I won't tell you what they really said. But it's so amazing. We grow old. This body changes. It wears out. You know, I used to be a man with 20/20 vision. Now, when I take my glasses off, I can see you all. But boy, I can see you much better. And I get headaches when I try to read. In fact, if I tried to read a book, I'd probably have to take it out here about 10 feet before I could read it. Because your eyes change. Everything changes about you. And are those changes going to define who you are? Are you going to be defined by those changes? Are you going to allow those changes to be the factor which defines your life and how you respond to everybody and everything around you? Because when we look at the world, we find that happening oftentimes. That it's my health, it's my finances, it's all these different things that contain my physical being that are my resolve. Well, there is one resolve that we need to remember. We are the children of the King. I am who you say I am. I am a child of God. I have in store for me an eternity that will never, ever perish or fade. You know, there is treasure stored up in heaven where moth does not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Amen? And that is our home. That is our destination. And the scripture is so clear. Do you realize it says in the scriptures that we will see him face to face, for we shall be like him. How old was Jesus when he died? 33. How old are you going to be through all eternity? 33. How many of you remember when you were 33? That's middle life. That's the prime. That's the That's where we all were shining stars in the world. That's where you're going to be for all eternity, with a body that will never wear out. Never wear out. That's where we need to fix our eyes, our hopes, our desires, our eternity should be, our minds should be fixed on eternity, not on this temporality. We are going to fade. We are going to leave this place. You know, I can remember telling my wife many, many, many times, and this was when Lynn was just learning to be a Christian, because we weren't always Christians, were we, hon? And I would tell her, I said, oh man, I can't wait to die. She thought I wanted to kill myself because she didn't understand my eternal view anymore. Because when we're in the world, we don't want to die. I have been with so many people on their deathbed, and it amazes me because Christians are happy. Non-Christians are fearful. Non-Christians are screaming the whole way. But Christians are singing the Alleluia chorus on the way out, because when they stop on this side, they pick it up the next note on the other. And that's the glory of it. Our life does not stop. It's simply walking through a door. The door of temporality and eternity. We will live forever. This is all going to go away. But God doesn't. So when we think about who we are and what's going on, you know, we need to be different from this world and what the world instructs us to. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians 4, verses 12 through 13. Philippians 4, verses 12 through 13. Now, I know this is part of someone's favorite scripture here in our congregation, okay? Because I hear this often through one of the folks here, and that's verse 13, 4 and 13. But I want us to look at 12 and 13 because I want us to understand we're to have a different view. We're to see things differently. He says here, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the people in Philippi. He says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In every and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. For I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Where does our hope come from? Where is our strength found? Is our strength found in our physical being? Because if it is, it's going to wear out, because we wear out. But if our strength is in God, and no matter what circumstance comes to us, to be content, oh, there's that word, to be content. That doesn't mean necessarily happy, but it means understanding your position, that I'm growing old and my body's wearing out, but there is in store for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord shall bestow. May it be ever so. Because when we have that mindset, the strength of Christ is there to rely on, to lean on, and to get us through. I think it's one of the most amazing things. When I was busted up in my accident, I was okay with checking out. I literally thought I was on my way out more than once during that accident. But God said, nope, I'm sending you back. And it's like, wait a minute, God, I resigned myself to leave this world. Why are you sending me back? He says, because I ain't done with you. You're still a mess. You're going back. You got more to straighten out. Okay? Yeah, I can fix it all right now, but you aren't getting out the easy way. You're going back, and you're going to suffer through this. And what did the song say that we sang today? God doesn't waste any of the pain. Any of the pain that you are going through, Jesus Christ has paid for that pain to make you God's child, so that you understand the pain of the cross, so that you understand what He paid for each and every one of us, because we will never pay the pain of hell, because that, dear brothers and sisters, is real pain. We don't know pain right now. But to be without God forever, in turmoil and torment, knowing that you could have chosen him at any moment? How much pain would that bring? That's eternal. It doesn't go away. The strength of Christ is here for each and every one of us. We need to remember, yeah, this stuff's all passing away. Praise Jesus. It'll be dust. It'll be ash. It'll be gone. And he will restore us, and we will be with him forever. Glory to his name. That's the love of God outpoured. None of us deserve it, but God bestows it to everyone who would believe. Amen? And it's yours for the taking today, now, every day. So when you're in the midst of all the trials and all the struggles and everything that's coming at you, I want you to remember God tells us that we're supposed to think on something else. What does God tell us that we're supposed to think on? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. First Timothy, chapter 6. Yep. First Timothy, chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Okay. Now, the first part of this verse, because Timothy here is talking to ministers. He's talking to those who are going to be out there ministering. How many ministers do I have in this congregation? Every one of you. We are a royal priesthood. Every one of us who follows Christ is to be a minister. Our lives are to be an example to the world of what it is to be in Christ. So this scripture is to you. And we're told here in verse 11, but flee from these things, you man of God. In other words, we're looking back here, and he's telling us to flee the things of this world. Flee the desires of worldly wealth and worldly riches and worldly pleasures, and seek after these things. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We need to seek these things out. We are to think on the things that are good, pleasing, pleasant, whole, and holy. We are to desire godliness and righteousness, to pursue faith, love, and perseverance and gentleness. We need to understand that in our lives, things are going to happen to us that don't seem fair. You know, why does this have to happen to me? Because God wants to use what is happening to you to glorify himself. Because if you truly love God and you have your mind set on the fact of eternal life, nothing this world can throw at you will harm you. It may hurt to go through it, but it will not harm you, because only one can destroy the spirit, only one can destroy the soul, and that's God. They can destroy this body. In fact, we know sin is going to destroy this body and everything in it. It's going to destroy everything in this world. You know, I think it's funny. We all work so hard for that house we all live in and those cars we have. What happens to the cars that we have? And they rust, and they fall apart, and the next thing you know, it's in the junkyard. And we spent thousands and thousands of dollars. How many hours of your life did you spend just to maintain that thing with four wheels and a motor? That's why I buy used junk. Okay, I shouldn't say junk. I'd try and buy something that's going to last a little while. But I buy somebody else's throwaway. Because they paid the big bucks for it, and they got that big investment. I'm going to pay a couple of $1,000 for it and drive it until it dies, because I know that's what's going to happen to it. I don't care if it's got bumps and dents and doesn't look quite so pretty, as long as it doesn't have 50 million bumper stickers on it. I think it's funny when I see those vehicles going down the road. I think those bumper stickers are on there to either hide the rust or hold it together. And both scare me. Because I'm probably behind the guy. And I don't want a piece to fall off in front of me. Amen? But we are to pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and perseverance. To fight that good fight of faith. To understand that these things are coming our way. That we may be examples. That we may be salt and light into this world. Folks, we're going to change. How many of you know we're going to change? From this moment where we are right now, we're going to change. Tomorrow, we're going to be different. Okay? And the next day, we're going to be even more different. And the next day, we're going to be even more different. The reality is, we also need to be like Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, holding to our faith. We're going to continue to grow in our faith, I pray. Amen? But we need to hold to what we already know and exemplify that. And then, as we do, we'll grow even more, and then we can exemplify that. And that takes time. That's called progressive sanctification. Because God doesn't grow us all up in Christ in one moment, does He? If God changed us like that, it would literally kill us. Because we couldn't handle it. How many of you have had God take something out of your life miraculously? Boom, gone. Well, I've had that happen. Did He change all of you or just one little aspect of you? Just one little aspect. Because if He'd have changed all of you, you wouldn't be you anymore. Now, you would be as the angels who can't choose. And you know what? Even when we're in eternity, we'll still have free will. But our free will be so in tune to God that we will never choose not to choose God. Today, I challenge you to look exactly where you are. Are you happy where you are? You know, I think it's funny because I ask Christians, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Fearful, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. You got that? Fine. Fearful, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. That's probably one of the truest statements we could ever state. Am I correct? How would you like to be like Paul? When somebody said, Paul, how are you? And he says, I'm content. In other words, where I am is where I am because it's where God wants me to be, and I'm glad to be where God wants me to be that I may grow in the grace of God. That's content. Doesn't mean you're necessarily happy. Doesn't mean it's pain-free. It simply means that you're willing to be where you are to get to where God wants you to be. That's contentment. That's a life that we can smile about. And that's what we need to do. Smile, no matter where we are, because we know He has it all covered. Can I get an amen? Would you pray with me this day? Precious God, we thank You that though our world is changing and though our lives are changing as we grow, we know, Lord, that You're right there to guard and protect us if we will submit ourselves to You and Your Word, if we will allow You to be our master. So, Lord, we pray that You would help us through the power of Your Holy Spirit to turn our eyes, to turn our hearts, to turn our lives to You in all things, that we truly may be the examples of Christ in this world, not only for others around us, Lord, but even for our own sake. For, Lord God, Your strength is what we need, Your love, Your desires. Teach us, Father, that the only change we need to succumb to is the change of our spirits unto the likeness of Christ. We thank You, Lord, that You will lead us and You will change us and You will change our world. And to these things we submit ourselves to You in Christ's holy name. And the church says, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.